Hi, my name is Kasper Lasenius, and I'm a professor of software engineering here at Aalto University. Welcome to this course. During the upcoming semester, I will take you on a tour of the exciting topic of software engineering. It's my hope that after this course you will share my interest in and enthusiasm for the topic. We all know that developing software is about coding, and all of you have already taken some programming course or courses. Many of you might have coded for a long time and are already very good at it, whereas others might just have had their first experiences and might not yet be fully proficient or even like the whole thing. Some of you might even think that learning to code is unnecessary, as you might believe that AI assistants will take over the whole task in the near future. Regardless of which group of people you belong to, this course should have something to offer to you. Software engineering as a topic deals with how to develop software and software-intensive systems in the real world. In the real world, I mean outside this protected educational environment where we are, in which exercises typically are small and rather easy in order to make learning fast and make it easy and fast for us professors to grade them as well. This also means that many assignments are done by individuals and exercises are by design small, planned to not require enormous effort. However, most real-world software system out there, the software running the web, running in our telephones, running our infrastructure, running on our computers, as well as artificial intelligence and machine learning systems, most of these were really developed not by single individuals, but by teams of people. In software engineering, we study how to make teams of experts work together to build and maintain software systems and products that excite their users, and why not developers themselves as well. We will learn that there is much more to developing most software systems than coding. Though naturally coding remains a central part, it is software development after all. During this course, we will learn about things like understanding user requirements, how to design and develop systems, how to ensure the quality of what we have built, how to release it to users or markets, as well as different ways of attacking development processes and how to manage software development efforts. As you can understand from this long list of topics, the goal of this course is not to make you a software engineering expert. It's rather to introduce you to this topic in order for you to be able to, on one hand, have an intelligent discussion about software engineering and work with people in the field, and on the other hand, maybe become interested enough in it to decide to study it more in depth and later become a software engineer or software engineering manager yourself. We will start to talk about the real course content immediately next week, but for this week, we will have to contain our enthusiasm, as there are some practical things that I need to tell you about this course before we actually start with the substance. As I guess you have figured out by now, this is a self-study course. It's completely delivered through my courses. There are no physical lectures. You can do it on your own schedule. However, we do have a weekly schedule that we require you to follow. So we publish new content with content and exercises each Wednesday morning at 8:15. And the deadline for doing that week's exercise, set of exercises is always the next Tuesday by midnight. And the final big thing is to pass the course. You must get enough points from the exercises as well as pass a traditional pen and paper exam. The course gives a broad overview of the field of software engineering, and here is a list of the topics that we will cover during this course. We are now at module 1, which is just a course overview, so it's not really a substance module. Next week, we will start delving into the field of software engineering. I will give you a broad overview of it, and then after that we will go more in detail into the various sub-aspects of software engineering. First, we will talk about software processes. We will talk about an overview of processes, and then about traditional or so-called waterfall sequential processes. In module 4, we will talk about modern software development processes. Here we will talk about agile development, and you will recognize terms here such as Scrum, Extreme Programming, DevOps, and so on. After that, we will go into various activities of software engineering, first starting with requirements engineering, which is about understanding what to build. So it's about understanding what users, markets need and want. After that, we will go into high-level design. We will talk about architectural design, and then we will go into software modeling, design and implementation. And also here we will talk about the role AI can play in software engineering today and in the future. In module 8, we will talk about software testing and quality assurance, how to really make sure that the software we build meets the requirements with respect to quality that we have for it. In module 9, we will talk about supporting activities of software engineering, including software configuration management, continuous integration, delivery, and deployment. After that, we will jump from the more technical aspects into more management-related aspects. So in module 10, we will talk about managing software engineering projects. And in module 11, we will talk about global software engineering, when you have developers from all over the world working on the same piece of software, and hybrid software engineering, by which we here mean working in teams and organizations where all or at least part of people work both from home and from the office. Module 12 discusses software process improvement and software business, and that's the final and last substance module. Module 13 is the course feedback module, and there will also, when that module opens, we will open a possibility for doing extra modules if you have missed some of your previous modules. And also, finally, we will have the pen and paper exam. Each module has exactly the same contents. It will consist of one or several videos, which can be either me discussing the topic or some other people who have made videos that I had decided to include. There will be readings, typically 1 to 2 articles, or they can be book chapters. However, all readings will be provided in my courses, so there's no need for you to get any textbooks. Then there will be 2 kinds of exercises. There will be quizzes and written assignments. The quizzes are therefore quickly testing that you have done and learned the basic material from the readings. And the written assignments then require you to digest the material in the readings and produce some text or some model or something else by yourself. So the quizzes are designed to test that you have read the material in a quick and fast way. So the idea is that you read the material prior to taking the quiz. Then you take the quiz, you have half an hour to take the quiz, and it will contain 8 to 10 questions. And these questions will be drawn from a larger question bank every time you do the questionnaire. So the quiz will not have necessarily the same questions if you take it 2 times. You will also not be able to see how many questions you answered correctly or incorrectly before taking the quiz the second time. When you take it twice, you don't have to, but if you do, then the score from your better attempt will obviously be your final score. And the questions have been designed to be quite easy to answer if you are familiar with the material. The maximum points you can get for the quiz is 4 points in each module. The bigger assignment then is the written assignment that is based upon the readings. It's typically a theoretical or practical assignment, very often in the form of an essay of 500 to 1,000 words, and you can get a maximum of 6 points for your written assignments. Previous years we have used peer grading. This year, in order to a little bit reduce the workload, we will not be doing that, so the assignments will be graded by the course personnel, and we also aim to give you individualized feedback for your essays. The max score you can get for an essay is 6 points. And a quick note about the language policy on this course. The material is in English, both the readings and most of the additional materials. The exercises will be available in English and in Finnish, and if you are Swedish speaking and you really cannot understand the exercises in any of those two languages, please send me a request and we'll see what we can do. What language version you see of the exercises is dependent on what language you have chosen in my courses. So if you, for example, have the Finnish language selection chosen in my courses, you will get the exercises in Finnish. If you prefer to have everything in English, that's what we do recommend, then please change the language settings in my courses to English. And as always, you are allowed to submit your exercises and the exams in English, Finnish or Swedish. The exam questions will be made available in all three languages, and you are free to use any of those. And once more, to make sure that you all remember this, the course flow is very simple. We publish a new module and related exercises each Wednesday morning at 8:15. And the deadline for those exercises are the next Tuesday by midnight, or 23:59 to be exact. And these exercises are then the written assignment and the quiz. What's really important for you to know is that these deadlines are absolute and they are automatically enforced by my courses. So please don't send us email asking for extensions. We will not grant extensions to the deadlines. If you for some reason cannot meet the deadline, please use the two-module excuse system that I will discuss now on the next slide. So since we know this is a big course with lots of students and many of you are busy or you become ill or things happen, we have built into the system a way of managing the fact that you might miss some deadline or you might do worse on a particular module than you think you should. And this is done by us providing two extra modules after the normal modules. And these modules that we provide at the end of the course can be used to make up for individual assignments or complete modules that you for which the deadlines have been earlier. So if you try to raise your score using one of these extra modules, we will use the better score. So you can have nothing to lose by doing these extra modules. There will be no penalty for it, except obviously the work you put into it. To use this two-module excuse system, you don't need to contact us in advance. The modules will be made available to everybody. You can also use this system if you have passed all the modules and you just want a higher score. That's perfectly fine. We ask that you contact us only if there are really special cases. For example, you have a serious illness or a hospital stay or something that really requires some special arrangements. In these cases, we always do require you to have a doctor's note or other legitimate documentation of the special reason. And finally, then, we have the exam. The exam is a traditional pen and pencil exam, in which you are not allowed to use any material or any electronics. The exam is based on the material covered in the substance modules, all the readings, all the exercises that you have done, and reading guidelines will be made available for you for the exam. The idea with the exam is to double check that you have really learned the things that we try to teach you and that you have done the exercises yourself. If you have done the exercises yourself, and really work your way through each module, the exam should be really easy. If for some reason you have used previous answers or AI and somehow managed to fool our checks, then the exam will probably be quite difficult for you. So you can either improve or lower your grade that you would get based on the assignments, but if you fail the exam, regardless of if you would have get a 5 based on the exercises, you will fail the whole course. There will be 3 takes for you for the exam. You can take it in December, in February, and in May. And obviously, you cannot pass the course only through an exam. There's no idea for you to go to the exam unless you have passed the exercises. And let's take a look at grading. So we grade you based upon the points awarded from the weekly modules and from the exam. And you need enough points from both of these in order to pass the course. The points for the module exercises can be seen here. Each module gives you a maximum of 10 points each. There are 11 substance modules giving a maximum of 110 points. We have the introductory module and the course feedback modules that also are able to give you 5 points each. So in that way, you can see here in the table the points and the grades awarded for the exercises. So in order to get a 5, you need at least 105 points. If you have 95 points, you can get a 4. 85 points, get a 3. 75 points, get a 2. 65 points, get a 1. And if you have less than 65 points, you have failed the course based on the exercises. And that's something you cannot make up for example, by getting a good grade in the exam. You need to have a passing score on the exercises in order to pass the course. And then the exam. In the exam, you can get 0 to 50 points, and it alters your course grade that you got from the modules. So if you have less than 31 points, the course is failed, regardless of your exercise points. From 31 to 35 points, you get the grade from the exercise minus 1. This is also applied if you have a 1 from your exercises. If you get here a minus 1, you will fail the course. If you have from 36 to 44 points, there will be no effect on your grade. If you have 45 to 50 points, we will increase your grade by 1. Unfortunately, even if we would like to, we cannot give you a 6. So if you have an exercise grade of 5, you will still just get a 5 for the course. And also the exam cannot be used to pass the course, as you see here, if you haven't gotten enough points from the exercises. So just to recap, to pass the course, you must then either get at least 65 points from the exercises and at least 36 points from the exam, or at least 75 points from the exercises and at least 31 points from the exam. And this takes us to the honor code, that is the rules for how we want you to work during the course. So the honor code, first of all, says that you must write your own assignments. You are allowed to discuss the exercises with fellow students, but the text that you actually produce must be your own. When it comes to the quizzes, you should not discuss them with other students until you have submitted your own and they have submitted theirs. So no discussion about the answers to the questions in the quizzes, please. And finally, I ask you to reference any sources that you use, including any material provided as readings during the course, be they book chapters or articles. And this then takes us to referencing. Referencing is a practice used in all academic writing in which you reference the materials that you have used, and that's a way to show where you got your ideas from. Please do note that referencing is not the same as copying. So even if you reference, direct copying of text is not acceptable. You can copy short passages, for example, definitions verbatim exactly as they are, but they must be clearly marked as quotes. Long passages, several sentences, should typically not be quoted. For referencing, we please ask you to use the Harvard system. There is a link with a document explaining that for you in the course material. And you really do must reference both the course material and other sources that you might have used as part of your exercises. And let's talk about the elephant in the room, generative AI. ChatGPT. Can ChatGPT do the course for you? No. You must write all assignments yourself. You cannot and you are not allowed to use text copied from the internet or generated by AI or written by a friend and so on. The text that you produce in your essays must be written by you yourself. not copied from all other students, not copied from the internet, and not generated by an AI system. Please also do note that ChatGPT and the like are not valid sources and references. They tend to make things up and they cannot really be trusted. As a researcher, I've obviously also tried ChatGPT in many different ways, and it can create passages that sound very convincing, and you can even now these days ask it to do the references for you. There's just one snag that I need you to be really aware of, that these references that ChatGPT provides, if you actually start checking them, they might actually not be very tightly related to what ChatGPT claims. So you might end up with fake references or references that do exist, but actually do not talk about the thing ChatGPT claims. So you need to be really, really careful. That's why in this course you are not allowed to use ChatGPT to help you with the essays. Language checking, on the other hand, for example, using Grammarly, is okay. Note that language checking is fixing spelling and commation and other mistakes. It's not producing the text. In order to help us figure out what goes on, we will analyze your assignments, all your submissions, using the Turnitin system to help us detect plagiarism and the use of generative AI. So, a long story short, write your own text. Read the papers yourself. All right. That's it. If you have any questions, please submit to the fora in my courses, or if you need quicker answers, please use our Telegram group. In case you have something that is sensitive that you don't want other students to see, you can contact me directly using my email address shown here. And we will try to answer all your questions within 24 hours. But please, if you do your exercises or whatever during nights or weekends, please don't expect us to be available to answer your questions quickly. We might do that, but we do not promise to respond to questions during nights and weekends. So keep that in mind. And I think that's all I had for you today. Thank you very much for hanging in there so long for this presentation. And now that we have taken care of the necessary information, I would like you to do two things. First of all, if you haven't registered for the course, now is the right time to do so. This is really necessary for you to get your grade and also so you can get your course feedback and other points. More importantly, please block time in your busy calendar to work on the course each week. I suggest you book at least 8 to 10 hours per week to work on the course. There is real work involved. You need to both read and write, and that won't happen if you don't block time for it. And that's it for now. I'm really looking forward to meeting you again next week and start talking not about what we can consider boring practical matters, but actually talk about the interesting topic of software engineering. So with that, I would like you to have a great start to this new academic year and your semester at Aalto, and see you next week. Bye for now.